will be returned in good condition, okay? If you want her back. There is a story that in the Bible that you're very familiar with, I'm sure. It has to do with the Lord's reward to his people. That's not the way the story is presented, but that's what it's dealing with. And so I'd ask you to turn to the 20th chapter of Matthew. 20th chapter of Matthew. And let's just read through this story, and then we'll start off by making an application. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them forth into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? We're all familiar with the story of the householder who hired several groups, and he paid them all the same pay. And those who had worked all day felt that wasn't fair, although that is what they had agreed with. And basically, this story is actually about people coming to Christ in various stages of their life. And we sang a song this morning. The third verse said that his blood covers all of our sin. And you know, I got to thinking about that as we were singing. How wonderful that is, that no matter how much any of us has sinned, that Jesus' blood covers that sin. And we no longer have to be responsible for it. This story is one that Jesus told his disciples to illustrate the point that all saved people get the same reward. Now we have to wait till the end of our life to get it. But no matter how long we're saved, as long as we are saved, they're going to spend eternity with the Lord. I had a man, I used to be a businessman before I became a missionary and then pastor. And I had a man who worked for me. He used to fight chickens up in the Greenville area. Okay. He was quite a rogue. He drank. His language was interesting. Not repeatable, but interesting. And I witnessed to him over and over and over. And he never would accept the Lord. He never really wanted to hear the witness. But because I was his boss, he had to listen. And then one day I heard that he was in the hospital. And I went down to the hospital. It was actually a Sunday night after church. I heard at church he was in the hospital. And I went in and witnessed to John. He said, no, Pastor, too late. He didn't call me pastor. He called me by my first name, Ken. It's just too late for me. I said, John, it's never too late. As long as you're breathing, as long as you're alive, let me tell you one more time what you have to do to become a Christian. You have to repent of your sin. You have to be sorry for it. And turn away from it. And you have to call out to Jesus to save you, to forgive your sin. He said, Ken, I've already told you, too late. And I left the hospital that night with my wife, really feeling bad. The next morning, forgive me. I love him. The next morning, he called his family and talked to his wife. He said, they tell me I have not got long to live. I just want you to know this. I'll see you in heaven because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior during the night. He died that morning. He had known Jesus just a few hours. But he's in heaven right now. The same as our loved ones, ones who we have known and loved, who have known Jesus Christ. They have gone on before us to be with him in heaven. And that was the purpose of this story to the disciples. That no matter when you're saved, the same reward, we're going to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot more to this story than just the laborers mumbling about their pay and grumbling about it. That's not the point of this story. What we want to do this morning is we want to look at this story for the purpose for which Jesus gave it to his disciples. And there's one word that we want to look at that's in this story that I sort of grabbed me as I was reading it again. And the word that we want to consider is the word stand or standing. The word has many meanings, and we want to look at a few of them from God's word. Let's start with a definition for the word stand, which means to occupy space. If you stand, you had to stand here in the auditorium this morning a few times. And I believe there was a little grumbling. Just like there was in the story. It means to occupy space. That's one of the meanings. In Matthew 12, 25 through 30, 26, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand, shall not occupy space. And if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. Then how then shall his kingdom stand? The two scriptures that we've looked at so far give us two different meanings for the word stand. One to occupy space, the other to stand fast in order to complete a purpose. Many marriages and homes have been lost because people did not stand fast for the right things. They did not stand in the truth of the vows that they took toward one another. According to God's word, there are many different ways that we can stand, and let's look at a few of the things that we can do while we are standing. As we look at the story of the householder and the hiring of laborers, we see that persons can stand idle. And over the years, many Christians have stood idle. That's why the church is failing. It's a horrible way to waste the time that the Lord gives you. As you get to be my age, you realize there's not much time left, and so you don't do much standing around idle. You stay busy. Taking a stand should always be profitable for somebody. It's best if it's profitable for the Lord, if we take a stand for Him. The older that a person gets, the less time he has to stand idle. Part of our relationship with the Lord is serving Him during the time that He gives us. And everything that He gives us is to be given to others. We are to be investing in other people's lives by loving them, praying for them, sometimes physically giving them materials the Lord has given us. Nothing given to us is by God is to be wasted, but it's supposed to be used for His glory. And He's giving all of us time right now. I'd like for us to take a look at various things we can be doing while we take a stand. In Mark 11:25, the Lord tells us, and this is important, "And when ye stand praying, forgive." And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Forgiveness is very important, folks. I wonder how many hours of praying people who call themselves Christians might be doing that is wasted. Wasted time. Because God does not hear their prayers because they have something against somebody else. They have an offense that they have never forgiven. And it's easy to do that. I had to share with the church here a couple weeks ago that the Lord pointed out an area in my life where I had not done the forgiving I was supposed to do. And folks, we all do it. We're human. But God gives us His forgiveness if we ask. And so if we want forgiveness, the Bible tells us we are to forgive. Everything that happens to you that you think is not fair is an offense. Everything. Do you pray that God will forgive them for their wrong? That includes the person who cuts you off in traffic. Okay, that happens. We're not supposed to mumble at them. We're not supposed to use the I word. My wife and I used to have a little thing we did. When we were spending 12 years conducting a Christian camp down in South Texas, we learned sign language, ASL, American Sign Language, because we conducted a deaf camp every year. And so we learned to sign, and of course you learn the letters and things. And so when somebody would do something stupid in traffic, my wife would sign I-D-O-I-T. We pulled alongside a car one day, and she was signing I-D-O-I-T. They signed back, same to you. So we didn't do that much anymore. Forgiveness is very important. If we don't forgive, our prayers do not get through to God. He tells us very clearly in Psalm 66, verse 18. Bobby quoted it this morning. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so if we do regard iniquity in our heart, God does not hear our prayers. It doesn't matter how many of them there are, how long they are. And lack of forgiveness is iniquity. Now, the Bible talks about many different places where it's possible to stand and many different kinds of stands. We are not the only ones to stand. There are those who right now stand in the presence of God. And some of them we know. They were friends of ours. They were acquaintances. They were mates. But there are others who stand in the presence of God waiting for commands from him. Let me give you an example. Luke 1, 19 and 20. And the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak to thee and to show thee glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Zacharias didn't believe God when he came and told him he would be a father. I believe from this account that you and I are supposed to be standing in the presence of God, and we can be all of our life. Well, we can't see him standing here beside us, but he's standing at the throne of God, interceding for each one of us, because he has a purpose for us. Where do you stand right now? May I share some scriptural passages that tell us where we should stand. And the first one comes from Romans 5. And I start here because years ago, I memorized the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5 because it is a very good description of what our life is supposed to be and what it actually is. And Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 tells us this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Can you imagine standing in the grace of God? What a wonderful place to be. Doesn't matter what's going around you. If you're standing in God's grace, the rest of that verse says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We we want to be, if we want to be successful in God's eyes, we must stand in His grace. We all need grace, all the grace that we can receive. You got here this morning by the grace of God. Nobody ran into you. You didn't fall over a curb coming in, did you, Becky? That's the grace of God. That's God looking out for you. And He does. He does. He looks out for you. He prevents things from happening. Most of the time, we don't even realize the grace of God that's around us, of how He's taking care of us, how He's providing for us. We're all here. We're breathing this morning. We're alive. And that, too, is grace, the grace of God. We woke up this morning. That was the grace of God. God provided His grace during the night. He watched over you. There were a lot of people who didn't wake up this morning. They either went home to heaven to be with the Lord, or they went to wait for the great white throne judgment on that last day. Whether you realize it or not, it's God's grace that brought you here this morning. He wanted you to hear His word. God has a purpose for every one of you. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what your name is, He has a purpose for you. And you are to stand fast in that purpose. You are. You're to stand fast in that purpose. It's not just your pastor encouraging you, but it's the command of God to all of His children. We find it in 1 Corinthians 16:13. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." God does not intend for His children to be wimps. He does not. He wants us to stand fast. There are people who think that they're not able to do much, but they can pray if nothing else. There are those who this morning know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and some of them for a long period of time, years, have been in nursing homes or assisted living facilities, some in a hospital, thinking, well, there's nothing I can do for the Lord. Yes, you can. Laying right there, you can intervene for the Lord's people that you know. You say, well, that wouldn't take long. I know just praying for our church people on Monday morning from 2 to 3, to be tonight or tomorrow morning, it takes over an hour for me to pray for all you folks. And many of you are praying also during the night, during the day. Think of the hours of prayer that are being offered up. As long as we don't have iniquity in our heart, God is hearing us, and God is going to answer them. Prayer does change things. It changes a lot of things. It's even able to change hearts. as God sends His Holy Spirit to minister. It can change a heart. There are so many different ways that we're told to stand. Let's just look at just a few very important ways. We'll start with the reason that we are to stand. That's in Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Jesus Christ is the only one who can truly make us free. The government doesn't do it. Our parents don't do it. Our children don't do it. God is the one who makes us free. He's the only one who can. And that's what He wants to do. As long as we're standing for God's purpose in our life, we are going to enjoy true liberty. Liberty of soul and conscience. I want to be free of the worldly influence, and in the Lord Jesus Christ I can be. So can you. You remember what it was like when you belonged to the devil? Do you? I don't like to think about it, but I can. There's still a few things I can remember as an old guy. Okay. The Apostle Paul told us how to be truly free, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember the first sin that Eve committed? It was because the serpent was one of the wiliest animals created. She didn't have on the armor of God. She didn't know she needed it. And a lot of people here don't know that they need it, but we do. The devil is subtle, folks. He's very subtle. He doesn't advertise what he's going to do. We do. We're glad to tell people what our plans are. And the whole time, that makes God chuckle. Or even laugh when we tell him what our plans are. Because he's got plans. And he's gonna activate them. Let's think of some other ways to stand. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, all right? That lets us stand against the wiles of the devil. In Ephesians 6:14 and 17, it tells us, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Folks, without the salvation of God, the helmet of salvation, and that is taken by faith, believing that God has a purpose for you, and He does. Do you think you are an accident in this cosmos we call a universe? None of us are. None of us. We have a purpose. God has a purpose for us. Did you notice the first word in this group of verses? There it is again. Stand. In all of my scripture studies, I've never found where we have been told to lie down while doing battle for the Lord. He hasn't told us that. He's only told us to stand. We're to stand in the armor. That truly gives us the power to stand if we are wearing his armor. If we're serving in righteousness, we have our bodies where God wants them. We are to walk in the gospel as our main message. And if we are attacked, the Lord will defend us. He is the one who will defend us, not ourselves. We don't have the strength to overcome the devil. And we certainly don't want to yield to him. He's not a good taskmaster. I don't want to spend eternity with him. I want to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And everyone in this room can do so this morning. It's only a matter of what does the scripture tell us? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're part of that whosoever folk. Both the Lord and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit who is here among us will defend us, will take care of us, will watch over us if we let them. But God will not force anyone to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not. It's up to you, yourself. That's the only way. Nobody can believe for you. You have to believe yourself. If we know that we're in the place that God wants us and that we are doing what God wants, our faith becomes a defense to every attack of the devil. Every attack. All of this armor that we read about is of no defense if we are not saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing else that will save us but the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. He died. I know it was 2,000 years ago. That shed blood is still effective today. It still works. It still works. It worked for me 60 years ago. 60 years ago. And it's still working. It'll work for you. There are just a few more stands that we need to look at. They're all commands. And they are of the attitude that we must display as part of our testimony. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast in the Lord. Don't let anyone or anything move you away from that. If you stand that way, you will be standing like Colossians 4 tells us. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. There's no one in this room who cannot stand perfect and complete in the will of God. We'll look at two more commands and we'll be done for this morning. 1 Thessalonians 3:7-9. Therefore, brethren, We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distresses by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Isn't it wonderful to rejoice when someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it wonderful? As you stand fast to the Lord, you can cause others to stand fast based upon your example. A very important part of Christianity is a tradition that has been established by those who have gone before us. This last passage acts like a benediction for our study this morning about standing. 2 Thessalonians 2, 15 through 17. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and he loves all of us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. God wants to help you stand. Father, thank you so much that you love us enough to intercede for us. You offer that love freely to each one of us. And Father, I pray that as we meet together here, as we gather together here, that your love will be a powerful influence in every heart, in every life. And Father, help each one of us to not just hope for faith, but actually experience faith as we fulfill the purpose for which you have placed us here. Thank you, Father, for giving us a purpose. Thank you for watching over us and bringing us here this morning. May you use us in this week to come. May your will be done in each heart. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.